Today's daf is Erevin daf mem vav. Okay, so we got to the bottom of daf mem hey amud beis, and about two lines from the bottom. So the Gemara we were talking about how you can use the rain. Is the rain that comes down, let's say, does that come from outside the tchum? Because does it come, according to Rabbi Elazar, does it come from the ocean? In which case, it's outside the tchum. And then the last one answer we gave is that, you know, maybe it came from, clouds that gathered already from Erev Yom Tov. That was one answer. And there's a special simon. You can tell if the rain comes from clouds that gathered from the clouds come from water that evaporated from the ocean. You can tell the ones that came from yesterday versus today. And the other one is we don't know, but it's suffik drabanan lakula. And tchum is drabanan according to most tanoim. That's a dominant view. So the Gemara says, velikne shvisa be'avim. Why don't you say that the water acquires shvisa in the clouds, right? And that's their center, that's their shvisa, and they acquire it in Bein HaShemashos. And then afterwards, when it falls to the ground, that's obviously out to the tchum. And therefore, if let's say the water falls in the well, so you can only carry it four amos because it's the tchum, the center is in the sky. So the Gemara says, Tivshat mina, they ain't tchumin lamala me'asara. So what do we see from here? The fact that we say that's not an issue. The fact that if we know that let's say that the clouds, you know, were the water from the ocean evaporated, let's say at Erev Yom Tov, and they gathered in the clouds already from Erev Yom Tov, but now the waters in the clouds on Yom Tov. So the fact that we don't say, oh, it was Kona Shvisa, I'm sorry, the fact that we don't say that the cloud, that the rain in the clouds were formed, at the onset of Yom Tov. So the fact that we say that therefore it leaves a tchum when it falls to the ground. So obviously we hold there's no tchum more than 10 tfachim. So la'olam, so you can't say, lolam emalach yesh tchumim. No, maybe you could still say that there is tchum above 10 tfachim. Umaya be'eva mivla b'liye. But nevertheless, the rainwater does not acquire shvisa in the clouds because the rainwater is absorbed. It's not in existence at that point. It's viewed as if it's nothing, and therefore it's not kona shvisa at all in the clouds bein hashmashos. So the Gemara says, but wait a second, we have another problem. He says kol shekein dahavu no lahu nolad dasire. So he said you shouldn't allow to take the rainwater that falls on Yom Tov from the well, because since the water was not in existence on Erev Shabbos, this is Erev Shabbos, then it's having lahu nolad asire. This is nolad. Nolad's like a super muksa. Muksa means something was not designated at the onset of Shabbos, right? You know, there is this money. There's no purpose to use this money on Shabbos because you can't use money during Shabbos. So the money is muksa. It's set aside for not to be used on Shabbos. So therefore you can't move it. So something which was in existence at the onset of Shabbos, that's nolad. It was just created on Shabbos. Certainly that's like super muksa. So why don't you say that because it's muksa, therefore you can't even move them even four amos. So Gemara says, Elamai b'avim meina naidi. So really, what are we saying? That really the water is existing in the clouds, even at the onset of Shabbos, Yom Tov, the case may be, but it's moving around. The water is moving around, and since it's not fixed in one place, it's not Kona Shvisa. It doesn't acquire the center area. Hashta da'asis lahachi. So the Gemara says, now that we've achieved this goal, we've achieved, now that we've sort of given this answer, so ukianus namilo likshilach. So you can also say, you can also answer the question that we had about the ocean, that my book ukianus namimeda naide. You can say that even if you don't have to say that the water in the clouds, that the clouds were gathered already erev Yom Tov, and that's why it's not a problem if the rain falls. even if, let's say, the water from the clouds, the water from the ocean, on Yom Tov itself evaporates and forms clouds and the rain falls, it still is not Kona Shvisa. It doesn't acquire its center, its place of residence in the ocean. Why? Because it's always moving. So it never establishes Shvisa. You can only establish your place of residence, your Shvisa, if you're stationary. Vitanya. Naharos Hamoshchi Mayanos Hanovim Harehein Karagli Koladam. And we learned in a Braisa that the rivers that constantly are flowing and the streams that are flowing, that they follow the Shvisa, the place of residence of the people who fill them on Shabbos and Yom Tov, right? Even if, let's say, they belong to someone else, because the streams belong to someone else, that since they are always flowing and moving, they're never Kona Shvisa. They don't acquire a place of residence or their own place. Rather, they follow by when someone fills, let's say, your bucket with water from the stream or the river. Amar Yaakov bar Edom, Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Alokha Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. The Alokha is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, back to our debate about a person who's sleeping. Even if you're sleeping, you can be Kodesh Shvisa, you can establish your place of residence. You don't have to be awake, Beit HaShemoshos, and you have 2,000 hours in any direction, even if you fall asleep at the onset of Shabbos. Amar Le'er Zeyler, Rabbi Yaakov bar Edom, Beferes Shemiali, O Miklal Shemialach. So he said the following. He said, Did you hear this explicitly from Yeshua ben Levi that that's the halacha? Or do you infer that Yeshua ben Levi believes that the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri from something he said? Amar Lei, Rabbi Yaakov ben Bar Edi said to Rav Zeir, Befer Shemili, he said this explicitly. So the Gemara said, my klala. So he says, what statement of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi could one infer from that you hold like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri that motivated Rabbi Zeira to ask him this question? Since Rabbi Shimon Levi says in general, the halacha is like the one who is lenient when it comes to an Eruv. In other words, any machlokes when it comes to Eruv and Tchumim, the halacha is like the lenient position. By the way, the Bach writes on this, in Aruch Chaim Simon Tzadi Shin Tzadi Ches, that we only say this when there's a machlokes, and there's a debate. But when there are two explanations and you don't know like whom to explain, then you should be strict. And also, in other words, if you're not sure what the halacha is, then you would still be strict according to the Bach. What we're saying here is that, let's say, Rabbi A rules strict and Rabbi B rules lenient, so then you could be lenient when it comes to Tchum and Erevin. However, if there is just we're not sure, but no one's taking definitive position, so then we would be strict. That's at least the Bach's position. Okay, so how do you understand this? So therefore, but in any case, since Rishon ben Levi holds that the lachas kedivrei hamekel, that we are lenient, so then he would hold like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, because he's lenient in this instance. V'tarti labali, so why does Rishon ben Levi need to teach us twice that the lachas of Rishon ben Levi, one time explicitly and one time based on what he said, one from his inferring from his position that we hold a lenient position. Amar Zera said, Tzrichi, we need both statements. Had we simply said that halacha like Rabbi Shua ben Levi, I would have said that, what does that mean? That we hold like him whether to be lenient or whether to be strict. So what's the case of lenient? So that's our case. If you fall asleep at the onset of Shabbos, you still Kona Shvisa, you still establish your pace of residence, and you can go 2,000 amos in any direction. And also, or also, Bein L'chumrah. So what's a case of Chumrah? Like a case of Kli Hefker. So a Kli that's Hefker, Rabbi Yochanan says that a Kli that's Hefker is Kona Shvisa in its place, and therefore it follows, it goes by the Kli itself, right? Where the Kli is such a Kli that's odorless, So that acquires Shavisa. And let's say I pick it up on Shabbos, we don't go by my tchum, we go by the Kli's tchum, where you found the Kli. So that could be a stringency. So had Rav Zera simply said, Lachal Lechmi Riochad Menuri, you would say that we follow him whether to be leader or to be stringent. Kamash Valad, Halacha Divrei Mekel Be'eruv, the Halacha is like the leader position of the Eruv, and therefore we only paskin like Reuchim and Nuri regarding the person who's sleeping, because there he's more lenient. When it comes to Kli Hefker, we follow the Chachamim, that we don't say that wherever the Kli is situated, that's the center. The Kli, that's Hefker, that's ownerless, and you find it on Shabbos. So we don't say that that's the center. You can only move it 2,000 amos in any direction. However, we follow the Chachamim, and we go by your personal center. So now the reverse. Why don't we simply say the halacha is like the lenient position? Why does he have to say explicitly halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri? You need that also. So good. You might have said that if we have just said halacha is like the lenient position, perhaps that's when everything else is equal, i.e., you have an individual singular position against a singular position, or a rabbim against the rabbim. But here you have Yochanan ben Nuri against an individual against the rabbim. So you might have argued that position of halacha divrei mekel only applies when it's yachid against yachid, or rabbim against rabbim. Kamash malon, even a case where it's yachid against the rabbim, we still follow of Yochanan ben Nuri when it's to be lenient. Now, Omar le Rava labai. Rava says to Abai, michti, let's see. Erevin Rabbanan. Erevin is a rabbinic institution, right? That's what the Baye hold, that they hold Tchum is only Midrabbanan. That's what we hold. Again, you have some who are strict, but the dominant view, at least going to Baye Rava, that it's Midrabbanan. Mali Yachid b'makom Yachid, Mali Yachid b'makom Rabbi. He says, fine, maybe in a case of De'oraisa, so maybe in a Torah institution, then you would think, yeah, pick a rabbim against the yachid. But once we say that tchum is only midrabanan, so what? Who cares if it's a rabbim against the yachid? So it's interesting. So Rava's assuming that this preference of rabbim against yachid would only apply in a case where we're debating about a doraisa concept, a Torah concept. But if they're debating about a rabbinic concept, then rabbim versus yachid does not necessarily win out. So that's an interesting position. So Amar Leir Papa La Rava, Bidrabban Lo Shani La. He said Bein Yachid Bimkom Yachid LeYachid Bimkom Rabbim. So Rav Papa says Rava, is that really true? That there's no difference? Is your assumption true? There's no difference whether it's a yachid against a yachid or yachid against a rabbim. But tonight, we hope we learn the Mishnah, Mesachas Nida. Rabbi Lazar Omer, Lazar says, Kol Isha She'avru Le'a Shalosh Onos Daya Shaita. So any woman, whether she's young or whether she's old, that let's say three time periods of 30 days, i.e. 90 days passed where she didn't see blood, so she is presumed to be Mesulekes Damim. She is presumed to be that she's not going to bleed. And then if after she bleeds, so then she is considered Tameh only for when she sees blood. We're not concerned to make, let's say she touched foods that were taharos, that were tahor. We don't assume that maybe she got tummy before, and any food that she touched in a certain period before would be tummy. Because we treat her as the halacha with women, let's say, who are not misulekas damim. Now, there's women who are still, getting their period. So if a woman sees blood, so then we assume that for a period before she sees blood, that maybe she got her period, she just didn't notice, and therefore any food that she touched, let's say within a certain period beforehand, so then that food would be tameh. However, if she is someone who basically 90 days passed and she didn't see blood, so then we don't say retroactively we're concerned that maybe she saw that she was a nida even before she sees blood. Vitanya, we're learning a braisa. Maisa, there was a story that this question came in front of Rebbe. A young girl, again, pre-menopause, that 90 days passed without her seeing blood, and then she saw blood. Vasa Rebbe ki Rabbi Elazar, and Rebbe followed Rabbi Elazar's position, and he said that even if she touched taharos, food that was tahor, a short period of time before she saw blood, then he said that food is not tamei. La'achar shenizka, after he was reminded that he did not act appropriately because the Chachamim argue on Rabbi Elazar, Amar k'dayhu Rabbi Elazar l'smoch alav b'shasat chak. He said Yeah, under pressing circumstances, you could rely on Rabbi Elazar. I mean, why was this pressing circumstances? Because this was a drought. So this is not a normal circumstance. So since this would cost a lot of money, if he would say, oh, all these Taharos food that this woman touched is now going to be Tameh because it's a Suffolk, so then, we're not going to be strict under times of drought. So presumably, what does that mean? That if this wasn't a time of drought, you should follow the Chachamim, the Rabbim against the Yachid. So the Gemara is going to clarify this. My lacha shenisgar, what does it mean after he was reminded? If you want to say that what it means is after he was reminded in the Beis Medrash that we follow the Rabbanan, not Rabbi Elazar. Say still, how could you follow Rabbi Elazar against the halacha? You need to even b'shas adchak. Ella de lo it mahilgasa. So rather, we didn't paskin lo Rabbi Elazar, but lo Rabbanan. Neither like Rabbi Elazar nor like Rabbanan. La'achar shindiskar the lav yachid poligalei. And the intent of the brisa is after he was reminded that no individual, no, it wasn't an individual who argued with Blazer, Ella Rabin Pligalei. After he was reminded, it was a Rabin against a Yachid, it was the Chachomim against an individual, Rabbi Elazar. Amar, he said, Kedaihu Rabbi Elazar, the smoke lobby Shasat Chak. So he said, okay, you can rely on Rabbi Elazar under pressing circumstances. What's clear for the brisa is that even in a case of Tumas Isha Lamafreya, retroactively saying a woman is Tameh after before she saw blood, that is certainly only, that halacha would only be a rabbinic prohibition. But what's he saying? If it wasn't pressing circumstances, he would say that you would follow the Rabbana. He only followed Rabbi Elazar Bishas Hatchak under pressing circumstances. So what do we see from here? Rav Papa is saying to Rava, we say even in a rabbinic case, Rabim wins over Yachid. How can you, Rava, say that in Rabim we don't follow, that in the Rabbanon case we don't follow the Rabim against the Yachid? So Amar Rav Mishar Shel Rava, and the Gemara brings another proof that by the Rabbanon we follow the Rabim. So Rav Mishar Shel says to Rava, and Amri Lan Sam say it was Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak said to Rava, is it true that in case of the Rabbanon there's no difference between a Yachid and a Yachid versus a Yachid against the Rabim? Vatanya, behold, we learn in a brisa. Shmua Krova, let's say a person heard that a relative died a short time after death. Okay? Not that day, a short time. Right after, it's what's called a Shmua Krova. So he says that you, Nohege Shiva, so the you should keep Shiva, okay, from the day that you hear about the death. Vishloshim, and should also keep Shloshim from the day that you heard about the death. But Rechoka, but if it's a Shmua Rechoka, if you hear about the death of a relative a long time after the death, Eino Noheges El Yom Echad, you only keep Avelos of one day. Ah, what's the question? Ezohi Krova, Ezo Rechoka. What's considered Krova, for like a short time, for which if you hear you have to keep Shiva and Shloshim? And Vezohi Rechoka, what's considered Rechoka? Besoch Shloshim. So if you heard about it within 30 days from Misa, so that's a Shmua Krova. But if it's Lachar Shloshim, but if you heard it after, you heard about the death 30 days after the death, so that's a Rechoka, Divrei Rabbi Akiva. This is the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Rechomim Acha Shmua Krova, Acha Shmua Rechoka, no Heges, Shiva Ushloshim. Rechomim say that you keep Shiva and Shloshim even if you hear a Shmua Rechoka. Yeah, I had this issue once where someone had a relative who died, and for that person to keep Shiva, the person told me, there was an elderly person, for this elderly person to keep Shiva and Shloshim, it would have been very traumatic, and apparently it was a situation where the person wouldn't find out, so we decided to tell the person after 30 days. It's always a shaila, because, they're going to find out beforehand anyway. But so that, I think we paskin like Rabbi Akiva, actually, in this instance. The Rabbi Barachan Amar V'yochan Kol Makom Shal Motzi Yochid Meka Rabbi Chokil Machmir Lachad Iver Machmir Hamrubim Chutz Mizu Sha'aval Pish Rabbi Akiva Meka V'chomir Machmir Lachad Kedivrei Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Barachan says, Ne'er Rabbi Yochanan, even though normally speaking, that the Yochid, if a Yochid is lenient and the Rabbim is strict, we follow the Rabbim who are strict, the masses, But except for this machlokas, that even though Rabbi Akiva is lenient, we follow Rabbi Akiva. V'savar la kishmul. The reason why Rabbi Yochanan passed Rabbi Akiva is because Shmuel also holds like Rabbi Akiva. That we're Shmuel, luckily we're makeup of Avil, because we're lenient when it comes to Avil. So the Gemara wants to infer from this. Ba'velus hu dakilu ba'rabanan. Ba'alma afil b'rabanan. Shani ben Yachid bimkom Yachid ben Yachid bimkom Rabim. So again, this is the rejection against Rava. Because what are we saying from here? Specifically by Avelo, specifically in the case of mourning, we are lenient like a Yachid against the Rabim. But if this wasn't a case of Avelos, so then we would follow the Rabim against the Yachid. Again, this is only rabbinic. So the point being that we have two cases. One dealing with Nida, a Drabanan case of Nida, where bishas hadchak, under pressing circumstances, we're following the yachid, but if it wasn't a shas hadchak, a pressing circumstance, we would follow the rabbim. And we have a case of avelos, that's drabanon, where specifically by avelos, because it's avelos, we're lenient like the yachid, but normally the inference is that we'd follow the rabbim. So this is against Rava, who says, Rava said that, I think that with drabanon, there's no difference if it's yachid against rabbim or yachid against yachid. Now, the Gemara now, in the next Amud, wants to explain other instances why Rabbi Shua ben Levi needs to pass, let's say, the halacha like Yochanan ben Nuri, even though we paskin like Divrei HaMeikel Be'eruv. Right? So Rav Papa, according to Rav Papa, Itzrech, according to Rav Papa, Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, he's giving another reason. Why did Shub and Levi need to say the Lach Lach Yochanan ben Nuri regarding someone who is sleeping, that he acquires his residence in the place where he's sleeping? Why can't he simply say Halacha Divrei HaMeikel? The Lach is like the leading position by Eruv. Sokadai Dechamida, I would have said, Hani Mili, that this principle that we follow, that we're lenient, Be Eruve Chatseiros, Be Eruve Tchubim Emalo Tzricha. Maybe I'd only be lenient by Eruve Chatseiros, but maybe a Ruve Tchumim, then maybe we would be strict. So therefore, Rav Shua ben Levi needs to tell us that even by a Ruve Tchumim, that we are lenient, not just by a Ruve Chatzer. So we can try to explain why you would think that a Ruve Tchumim, you'd be more strict than a Ruve Chatzeros, which would necessitate Rabbi Shua ben Levi to say that we're even lenient by a ruvei tchumim. So Gemara says, why would you say the shalilan bein a ruvei chatziros le a ruvei tchumim? Why would you say that there's a difference in a ruvei chatziros and a ruvei tchumim, that we might be more strict by ruvei tchumim? Did not, because we learned in the Mishnah on Daf Pei Aleph Amud Beis, Amar Rabbi Yehuda says, "Men dvar morim." When do we say that you require the intention of the person who is ma'arev by a ruvei tchumim? That the person needs das, if he needs intent, that if someone is making eruv for him, so he needs, let's say if someone's making eruv for you, so you need to have intent that if I want to make an eruv for you, it only works if you if you know about it, if it's to your das.
Rashi explains, because by Eruvei Techumen, maybe the guy wants to actually go in the other direction.
Right, right.
In other words, you're going to make it to him to go east, maybe he has to go west.
Right, correct, yes, thank you. Yes.
There's no Hesed, right. There's no Eruv Chaseros, there's no difference.
Right, right, so let's just read what's...
It only benefits him.
Correct, yes. The Lashon is, thank you, David, thank you for clarifying. Because maybe it's a chova for you. Maybe it's a liability for you, for the person who created your center. But that it's a schus to make an Erev Chatzeros. There's no downside to making an Erev Chatzeros for someone, to allow someone to carry from his heart, from his house to the courtyard, or from the courtyard to the house. Right? What's Erev Chatzeros? A bunch of people with different houses. There's a common courtyard, so you make an Erev Chatzeros so that everyone can carry from the house to the courtyard to the house. So that, there's only a benefit. There's no liability, but as David correctly pointed out, by Erev Tchumim, there is a potential liability. So we see from the Mishnah that Erev Chatzeros is more lenient than Erev Tchumim. And so therefore, you might have, And therefore, you might have argued, that the principle of halacha divrei mekel be'eruv was not said in regarding to, with regard to eruvei tchumim, but only regarding eruvei chatzeros. So Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi wants to clarify that no, halacha divrei mekel be'eruv applies even to eruvei tchumim. Rav Ashi is going to give another answer. Rav Ashi Omar eats trech. Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi needs to say halacha divrei Yochanan ben Nuri for another reason. The Saga Dechamina, Hani Mili Bishure Eruv, Aval Tchilas Eruv Evalo. That you might say that that this statement, Halacha Divrei Mekel Be'eruv, that you're leading when it comes to the Eruv, only applies with the remnants of an Eruv, i.e. an Eruv that had already been properly established, or maybe then it became invalid, right? In other words, let's say a person left an Eruv for many shabbosos, right? You put some matzahs. You put a box of matzahs, and you say, this is my makom shvisa. And you put it in some place. And you left it there for a few weeks. And after, bit by bit, let's say there's less food. So can you rely, can you sort of rely, so the whole debate that we're going to see in Dafei about if some of the food gets eaten up, can you rely on the remnants and say it's an Eruv? So there, perhaps, we're lenient, because there was already an Eruv that was established. But maybe if there hasn't been a presumption that the Eruv is valid, right? Or right, then maybe you would say that we don't follow the lenient position. So where do you get this notion that maybe there's a difference between the remnant of an Eruv and the beginning of an Eruv? Not because the Mishnah of Yosef says, when do we say that you need a shear? A certain requisite amount for Eruv Chatzeros, B'tchilas Eruv. When you begin to leave an Eruv, the first time of Mishir Eruv, but let's say if you left an Eruv, a previous Eruvim, and then it gets less, right? Some of the food gets eaten. Afilu Kol Shehu, even if only a small amount of food is left, then it's still kosher. The lo avru la eruv chatzeros elikadesh l'shakev toras eruv min hatidokos. So again, this is by eruv chatzeros, and we said that the reason why we're lenient by the remnants of an eruv after it's already been valid for one Shabbos is because the chachamim only told you to make eruv chatzeros so that people would not forget the concept of eruv tchumim from future generations, because the main din of Eruv is regarding Tchumim. That's the way Rashi wants to say. Rashi wants to say that the Ikar of Eruv is Tchumim. And therefore, one can be lenient by Eruv Echatzeros, that if it was done according to the Halacha, it is good, even if there's left over. So then maybe you would say also that the halacha that it does not apply, that halacha of leniency only applies to shiurei eruv. So Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi says, no, that's not the case. Even betchilas eruv, in the beginning of the eruv, so you could also when you could also be lenient if there's a debate, and therefore we could, like, in other words, when you're creating the eruv, the guy, remember, what's our case again, just to refresh your memory, the guy who's sleeping, right? So he doesn't have intent at the onset of Shabbos, say, this is my center, but he's asleep in this place. So again, this is in the creation of an Eruv. Maybe you would think that you'd be strict. So Rav Yishuv ben Levi says, no, we're lenient even b'tchilas Eruv, the beginning of the Eruv. Now, we are the Gemara is now going to bring a bunch of rules when it comes to psak halacha when there's a machlokes tanai. So these are good rules to keep on, because we're talking about your yachid, rav yachid. So Rav Yaakov Zvika Amru. Rav Yaakov Zvika said, Halacha ke Rabbi Akiva mechavero. Rabbi Akiva always wins. When he's against another Tana, he wins. The Rav Yossi mechavero, also, when it's Rav Yossi, but Rav Yossi is even better than Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Akiva wins against chavero. So Rabbi Akiva against one other Tana, he wins, but if it's against the Rabbim, he loses. Rav Yossi wins even against the Rabbim. That's how powerful he was. That being said, Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos has a different girsa. Tosfos says even from Yossi, it's also mechaviro, and that's also the Rif's girsa. So I think there are different girsas of how powerful Rabbi Yossi's position was. And the Kirabi Mechaviro. So Rabbi also wins out against any other Tana. Lamai Hilchasa. Why did Rabbi Yaakov of Zerika say these halachos? So Rav Asi Abar, Rav Asi said that, why is he saying this? That it's a halacha. That their intent was that you should rely on these principles in practice and to tell the masses this. In other words, you should tell people that when you have, that if you see debates between these Tanaim and other Tanaim, this is the halacha. Rav Chiya Bar Abba Amar Matin. Rav Chiya Bar Abba says, no, the intent is not that you rely on this halacha, but how do you translate Matin? That you sort of like turn this way, that you're inclined towards this ruling. But if someone asked you individually, but publicly, we don't tell the tzibur this. We don't tell the tzibur this. And then Rav Yossi Brav Chanina Amar Niri. Rav Yossi Brav Chanina says that he says that it appears that you should rule this way, but it's not considered. In other words, if someone already did this, then you could say it's valid. But if he asks lechatchila, we don't tell the individual this either. So right, this is like Rashi's take on this. These are interesting topics. What's halacha? What's matin? What's nirin? Halacha is like lechatchila in public. Matin means privately, but not publicly. Again, probably the concern about doing things publicly is like things that get misconstrued and people make, you know, wrong implications from that. And Nirin's even less than that. We're even more concerned to issue public rulings and we're really not sure. But the evidence, and these are reputable Tanan to rely on. Kalashan Hazeh. So like this machlokas that the Amoraim said regarding Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Zreka, regarding halacha, matin, or nirin, so it seems that they argue even regarding this, the following issue, that Amar Rabbi Yaakov Aridi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. The Rabbi Yaakov Aridi says the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yehuda, halachak Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Rabbi Yaakov and Rabbi Yehuda say that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. And right, between the two of you, Rabbi Yehuda wins over Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, halacha Rabbi Yossi. Between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, who wins? Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yossi beats Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda beats Rabbi Meir. Vein tzarech lomar, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi, halacha Rabbi Yossi, right? Because A is greater than B, B is greater than C, A is greater than C. Rabbi Yossi beats Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda beats Rabbi Meir. Hashda Rabbi Yehuda Leisa. I'm sorry. Hashda b'makom Rabbi Yehuda Leisa. B'makom Rabbi Yossi b'iba. Yeah, but wait a second. If Rabbi Meir beats Rabbi Yehuda, then obviously Rabbi Yossi beats. Right. Obviously Rabbi Yossi beats. Right. In other words, if Rabbi Meir argues Rabbi Yehuda, we don't follow Rabbi Meir, but we hold like Rabbi Yehuda. So when Rabbi Meir argues Rabbi Yossi, do you actually need to ask that question? Obviously, Rabbi Yossi beats Rabbi Meir. So Amar Vasi, Af Ani Lomed, so even I learn from this Kav HaChomer, that when Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Halach Rabbi Yossi, that when Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, from this Kav HaChomer, I learned when Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon argued, the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. Why? The Amar Rav Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan, and Rav Yochanan said, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, halacha Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda wins out over Rabbi Shimon. Okay, so we have so far, Rabbi Yehuda wins out of Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Yehuda wins out over Rabbi Meir. Hashda. Rabbi Yehuda, Lesa. Rabbi Yehuda, right? Hashda, B'makom, Rabbi Yehuda, Lesa. So Rabbi Yehuda wins out of Rabbi Shimon, right? B'makom Rav Yossi Mibai, you need to say that when Shimon argues with Rav Yossi, you need to ask that question. Obviously, that's the case. So in other words, Rav Asi said, like, that's like, I learned that Kav HaChomer, that Rav Yossi wins out, obviously. So I learned it not that he wins out obviously over Rav Meir, but that he obviously wins out over Rabbi Shimon. So we got Rav Yossi as number one, and then we have Rav Yehuda as number two, and then Rav Meir of Shimon, three or four. We don't know who wins out. That's the next question. Yibai Lahu, Rav Meir of Shimon Mai. Who wins out of Rav Meir of Shimon? Who's number three? Who's number four? Take you on result. But now, at least we know, Rav Yossi definitely number one, Rav Yehuda definitely number two, and then not clear, Rav Meir of Shimon. Amar Rav Misharshaya, Leis Nuhu Lani Klali. So Rav Sharsha says, no, we don't follow these rules at all. That the halacha is that you follow Svara. That, you know what? If Rabbi Shimon argues with Rabbi Yossi and we think Svara logic dictates like Rabbi Shimon, so then we say Rabbi Shimon wins out. Minale the Rabbi Sharsha ha. How do we know, according to Rabbi Sharsha, this fact, this principle? So, if you want to say it's from that which we learned in the Mishnah, in yesterday's daf. If you have three people that are outside the city on Shabbos, and everyone has their own Tchum Shabbos of four amos, the two are on the outside, eight amos apart from each other, and the third guy is in the middle. So the middle guy can, you know, eat together and do stuff with the two outer guys because they have a common tchum, but the two outer guys can't do anything with each other because they have no common tchum. Regarding this, Rabbi Shimon Omer, this is similar to basically three courtyards, one opened into another, and that there's an opening between the first and the second, or between the second and the third. And each one of them also has its own opening to Rishus HaRabim. And what's halacha? Ervu. So let's say they left in Erev Chatzeros. Shtayim hachitzonos, the two outer ones, im haemtzois. So the two outer ones together with the middle one. So himu tarsima, have a himu tarsima. So they're all permitted with each other. Ushtayim hachitzonos, asura zoimzo. So again, if each outer one did it with the inner one, so the each outer one can carry from there, you know, together to the outer to the inner, inner to the outer, but the two outer ones cannot carry to each other because they didn't make an Erev Chatzeros together. However, the Chacham, by the way, argue Rabbi Shimon, and they hold that all three Chatzeros are forbidden to deal with each other, to use, you know, the any common courtyard. But Rav Chama Bar Gurya, Rav, halacha Rabbi Shimon. Rav Chama Bar Gurya said, Rav, the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon. Uman Poligalein, who argues on him? Rabbi Yehuda. Don't we say that Rabbi Yehuda wins out of Rabbi Shimon? Alav Shmamina Leisnehu. So what do we see? We don't follow these principles. Normally Rabbi Yehuda wins out over Rabbi Shimon. We have an explicit case here. By the Tchumim case from our Mishnah, that the middle guy can deal with each outer guy, right, can eat together with each outer guy and can, you know, occupy the same space. And that's not a problem. That's Rabbi Shimon, even though Rabbi Yehuda argues. So we're rejecting that principle that Rabbi Yehuda wins out of Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara rejects that, and the Gemara rejects that proof. It says, my question, what kind of question is that? Dilma, hechad itmar itmar, hechad lo itmar lo itmar. It says, no, maybe when we say, if we say explicitly in a particular case, when there's a debate between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, that we hold like Rabbi Shimon, then we're going to pass like Rabbi Shimon. These principles that Rabbi Yossi wins out over Rabbi Yehuda, and that Rabbi Yehuda always wins out over Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon, that applies when there is no clear consensus or there's no explicit statement from any Mishnah or any Braisa that the halacha is like anyone. When there's no explicit statement that halacha is like Rabbi Shimon, halacha is like Rabbi Meir, so then, or like Rabbi Yehuda, whatever the case is, so then we follow these principles. When there's an explicit statement that halacha is like either Rabbi Shimon or Rabbi Yehuda, or whatever the case is, we'll follow anyone. But when there's no explicit statement, then what do we say? Rabbi Yehuda is number one, then Rabbi Yossi is number one, Rabbi Yehuda is number two, and then Rabbi Meir is either three or four. And we'll stop here, and we'll continue tomorrow. We'll try to do 8:20 tomorrow.